Hello, hoteliers, and thank you so much for joining us on M3 Minutes. I'm your hostess, Veronica Berman, and today I'm sitting down with Alan Reed, CEO of M3. We're here to learn about his journey with M3 over the past 25 years. So let's get started. Welcome, Alan. We appreciate you coming on the show today.
Glad to be here.
So, Alan, 25 years is an incredible milestone. What has that meant to you professionally and personally?
25 years, long time. Professionally, you know, thinking about that, as you say it, you know, 25 years, what has that meant to me professionally? It's very interesting, you know, and I guess you got to ponder, you know, what have you accomplished in the 25 years? Have you been able to develop a company that people appreciate, that people like? You know, did you bring people along with you? And I think the answer to that is yes. I was able to develop a company that people appreciated, they trusted, they knew we were honest and, you know, just a business you'd want to do business with. And I've always wanted to have a company like that. I've had people tell me in the different careers that I've had, hey, Alan, you know, it's not like it was when your father grew up and you just have one job. Today, you know, if you're working for a company, you're going to have multiple jobs throughout your career. And I've always said, if I ever had my own company that I could start and I could develop, that I wouldn't want a company like that. I'd want a company where people would want to stay, they could build a career, and give them the opportunity to grow, and also be able to give them the salary and the pay that would allow them to stay with me, and they could create a career. So professionally, I've been able to do that. Kind of proud of that. It gives me a good feeling. Personally, it's also fulfilling that personally I could fulfill that desire to build a company that way. It's also allowed me to raise my family and be the parent and the father that I wanted to be, and spend more time with my family. You know, that's today environment, you know, work-life balance, it's what everybody talks about. And I think from day one, I've been able to start a company that kind of achieved those goals and was able to deliver that to both myself and to the people that work for me.
Thank you, Alan. And as an M3 employee, I know that means a lot to hear how much passion that you put into thinking about where we work every day and to be a part of this company. So now that I'm thinking a little bit more about kind of what got you to this journey, and I know you're coming from the hospitality space, and with M3, we do pioneer ourselves having created software that's made for hoteliers by hoteliers. And so with that, I'm sure you want to tell us a little bit about what got you started in the hospitality industry. What are some of the jobs that you may have had?
Sure. So for people that don't know, I've got a degree in petroleum engineering, and I own a software company that does back office accounting for hotels. Perfect match, right? No. When I first graduated from school and got a degree in engineering, the oil field was really doing poor. This is back in the early 80s, so I'm going back a long time. And, you know, I sent out like over 1,000 resumes, couldn't get a job, had a job, didn't keep it for long as the oil field continued. So I had that old thought process, it's easier to get a job if you have a job. So I got a job at a hotel doing the night audit work. And then I wasn't there long and I became a front desk clerk. And then I got moved over to guest services manager. And then within 6 months or so, I was restaurant manager, then food and beverage director. And I actually met my wife there, she got a job after she'd been there for a while. She was actually my boss. She was administrative assistant, she's still my boss today, and that's quite all right. But anyway, she got a job with JCPenney and was transferred over to Georgia. And right before we got married, I quit my job, moved over there. Figured, you know, it's easier for back then, this would be in the 90s, for a guy to get a good job than a woman, because she had a very good job. So I moved over to Georgia with my wife and figured, you know, if I couldn't find a job, I'd go back to school, get a degree as a doctor. My father was a doctor. But anyway, I got a job at one of John McKibben's Holiday Inns in Thomasville, Georgia, just as a front desk clerk, you know, just to have some income coming in. I went there 2 weeks and I got a job as a restaurant manager. And then was promoted to food and beverage director, assistant general manager, became regional manager. And then just started going around to different hotels for John, working on improving them that were lower performing, get them performing well, and then John would sell them. And that was really fun at first. And then after about the third hotel, people would see, they'd see Alan coming in the front door and they're like, oh, my hotel's for sale. So I've just been in the hospitality industry. It's been like my main career. It's only the career I had. I thought I'd have a career as an engineer, ended up being a hospitality person. And once that gets into your blood, into your heart, into your soul, you just never get out of it. It's very addictive. So that's kind of the way I got in the hospitality industry.
Okay. So from a lot of that experience, clearly from food and beverage manager to front desk to night auditor, so you've seen the whole gambit of what it means to work within a hotel. And thinking about all those roles, can you tell me how, when John came to you and approached you about joining M3, how you took your experience to help his vision align with what we have today?
Sure. When John first called me up and he said, I've got this company, you know, it's going to do accounting software for hotels. Can you come up and help me run this company? And honestly, I told him, I said, no, I don't really want to do that. I said, you know, I got the bug, the hospitality bug. I said, John, I really, you know, after these different positions I've had, I want to be up at the corporate office. You know, and I want to be the, you know, the president of McKibben Brothers, you know, the, you know, a regional director and things like that. And John, he listened to me. He said, well, that's really cool. He says, come up here on Tuesday. This is a Friday. He says, come up here on Tuesday and bring your family with you, and you can start once you move in. So I was like, okay. I mean, John asked me, you come on up. So he asked me to come run the company. And when I got to talk to him, he said, Alan, he goes, I've got three companies I need you to really get going. There's Mississippi Management, which is over in Mississippi, McKibben Brothers, which was his company, and Day Hospitality, which is Hotel Equities now. He says, if you can get those three companies up, get them running, and give me a year to get the company on its feet, he says, I'll let you go back over into operations. And like you just said, that was 25 years ago. I really enjoyed it. It's where I developed my vision. I said, you know, maybe there's something into this, you know, because I still get to talk to people in the hotel business. Mm-hmm. I get to help them refine their business, give them examples of best practices, and get to enjoy with different people in multiple different companies on their successes and how to mold the way they do that. So that's really kind of the way I started off in the initial vision I had.
Okay. Wow. That's great. You took experience that you already had and you made it work for you. And that's what we have today. Wonderful. Wonderful. So now thinking about you're at M3, you've been working with John for a while. You've got your foot in the door. So what I'd love to know throughout this whole journey, what have been some of those defining moments of success for you, Alan?
Defining moments of success. You know, there's, wow, good question. The first thing that comes to mind, taking advantage of hard times. Those are your moments, you know, that can be, you can either be successful or you can fail. And so there was a time when we first started the company, we were very young, had been open for, you know, maybe in business, maybe 3 years. Mm-hmm. And we, back then, we had what was known as a fractional T1. A T1 is like a 1 meg connection speed. So when we first started the company, we designed it to work with dial-up modems. You know, most people probably don't even know what that is. That's where, you know, you connected to the internet over a phone line, you'd hear that, you know, static and that noise and it would connect. But anyway, we had a fractional T1. A T1 being 1 meg, we only had like 750 K of bandwidth. I knew that was starting to get maxed out and I had ordered a new type of internet connection that would give me 3 megs a connection. Cool, isn't it? So anyway, I was a little tardy in ordering that. And as we got more and more business and business came to us more rapidly, we anticipated, we started to max out our bandwidth. And when that happened, it made people very slow. The program couldn't run correctly. And we were having to ask people, you know, hey, can you wait till 5 o'clock in the afternoon to log on, you know, or maybe log in early, you know, things will work better for you. And that lasted for about 2 weeks. I literally, As the circuit was coming in, I helped the people that were installing it dig the ditch to bring the line into it. I mean, it was all hands on deck situation. But anyway, you know, the customers we had, they were all mad at us and things like that. So Johnny and I, we decided, let's go visit all of our customers. At the time, we only had, you know, maybe 360 hotels, 400, which represented, you know, 40 or 50 total customers. So John and I, for 2 weeks, we went around and we personally visited every one of our customers, talked to them about the situation, how we were going to resolve it. And it just, I think it kind of cemented into people what kind of company we were, that the CEO, the founder would come out and visit. And it didn't matter if they only had like three or four hotels or if they had 30 hotels. John and I made a commitment to go see those people, assure them that we were going to resolve any issues like that. And so when somebody has an issue like that and you come through, it makes that person more of a, like a customer for life. So that was one situation that I really enjoyed.
So it sounds like one of the pivotal moments when you really started to define your customer base was making sure that you always wanted the customer to know how much you cared about them and that you were invested in their welfare and that their opinions mattered.
I mean, that's correct. You know, communicate. You know, we learned early on that you've got to communicate with the customers. Let them know what's going on. You know, even if it's something great, you know, it's easy to communicate, right? So if it's something bad, you still have to communicate with the customer. Let them know what's going on. Tell them how you're going to fix it and what your pathway and your plan going forward is.
That's good advice for any aspiring salespeople to be out there. Yep. If you've got any listeners, well, perfect. So the next question I'll lead into is that we're talking about defining success. And I'm sure you may have had those moments, like any of us in our career, where you wanted to throw in the towel and you said, you know what, maybe I'm done with this industry, maybe this job. Did you ever have a moment like that in your career, but then you stopped it and said, no, this is how we're going to fix it. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah, if you've ever started a business from scratch, there's always, you know, especially the very beginning in the early days, defining moments like that. You know, the software is not working the way you want it to. It's always throwing bugs out. It's kicking people out. And you're going like, man, is this what we really want to do? I mean, I can remember we had a meeting with John one time. It was with the first three original customers. And John had told him, he says, hey, look, we're going to get this working. We're going to get it fixed. But if we don't, he says, we will find you a better piece of software and we will pay to help you transfer it over. You know, and I'm sitting there, I'm going like, well, this is kind of what I do for a living, John. You know, so he put the onus on me. Hey, you need to fix this. You need it going right or else we're going to give it away to other customers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because John has always said, I'm not going to have a company that's second rate or anything like that. He's always wanted what I can call a top shelf company. And I think M3 has always been top shelf. But there were lots of days where you'd come in, you'd expect something to do go a certain way, and it just wouldn't go that way, you know. And you work and you work and you work, and if you work hard enough and you solve the problem one step at a time, and then it's actually rewarding when you work your way through those when you thought you were at the end of your rope. So there's been a lot of good feelings, a lot of days where you felt that way. But at the end of the day, if you just stick with it and you keep working the problem, you'll find a solution for it and you can get past those moments.
Absolutely. So working through it and working hard to do that and communication. So those are some really great pieces of advice.
Absolutely. I would always say communicate, communicate, communicate.
Now, still thinking about those pivotal moments, Alan, let's focus a little bit more on M3 company culture. So is there a defining moment? Because I've only been here a year and you've been here a lot longer. And so you've really seen our culture change. Probably going from the original 10 to 12 employees to 25, 100, and now we are over 300 people. So can you tell me a little bit about that journey and maybe some things that really helped you figure out the type of company culture that you want to have here?
Yeah, sure. Be glad to talk about that. When we first started the company, it was a small company. And, you know, we were focused on, you know, getting customers, getting revenue, growing, growing, growing. And I remember it was probably the first 6, 7, 8 employees we had. I'm walking down the hallway and I'm, you know, talking to one of my employees and I could see he's a little distressed. And I was like, hey, what's up? And he goes, well, you know, my wife is having some gallbladder issues. And we went to the doctor And, you know, they said she really needs surgery, but we can't afford it. So, you know, they gave us some pills that she can take that would help alleviate the pain. And I was like, you know, what's going on? He said, well, the health insurance that we have, you know, it's got a $3,000 deductible. And I was like, we're a small company, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to give you a bonus to cover that. You know, your wife needs to have her surgery. And, you know, that employee was very appreciative and is still an employee to this day. But I just, you know, walking away from that, I was going like, you know, I don't want my employees to think that we're a company that we're so small, they can't come ask me for help. Mm-hmm. So I decided at that time and point, you know, I was going to start on the culture of the company, let them know we were family oriented. We're going to take care of our employees when they have issues. And then we're going to take care of our customers the same. So, you know, that's where I first started setting the culture of the company, mm-hmm. trying to define who we are, what we would be going forward. And I think it's served us well because we've been able to maintain that. We focus on life, work balance with the company now. We try to make sure that employees enjoy coming to work because as I do orientation for every new employee and since the beginning of the company. I did it when we first started. We didn't hire a lot of people. We do hire a good number of people now, but I try to sit in and I give them the vision of the CEO. And I tell them, I never want this to be that company that sucks. We've all worked for that company. You know, you go like, you wake up in the morning, you go like, oh, I can't believe I go to that company again and go work. I never wanted to have that type of company. So I think I've developed that. I've had people that just back around 2012, 2011, I actually hired somebody to promote our culture. It's called an employee ambassador. I searched the internet, did Google search, couldn't find out what an employee ambassador, that was a name I came up with. You know, but that was a person that would promote our culture, make sure people knew it, would do training sessions and things like that. So from early on, I've tried to create a company that had a good culture and that could go forward. My desire as we continue that family oriented type business that we're well respected by both our employees and the customers that we serve. And I've always felt if you take care of your employees, they'll take care of your customers. Mm-hmm. And if you create a loyal customer base, those guys will stay through you through thick and thin. So that's my desire forward is that we can continue with that as we grow bigger and bigger. We don't lose those roots and, you know, and that family atmosphere that we first had. You know, you do have to mature as a company, and we will, but you've also got to keep your values, and that's my hope.
I can 100% agree to that because every time I come down to this end of the building, Alan, I always see that your door's open, and I feel as an employee that I can come in there and talk to you about anything at any time. And I know you've really worked hard on building a place where we can all respectfully agree or disagree, but it's also a healthy environment to where there is open dialogue and open conversation. So I do appreciate that as well.
Well, thank you very much.
So thinking about that company culture, we kind of chatted on that a little bit. So let's move on. I'm sure there have been some challenges along that way, and not necessarily in the company culture space, but when you think about the company in general. So maybe what are some of these obstacles that you've overcome to lead us to where we are today?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to talk about that. And one thing I always tell people, I said, when something looks like it's really easy and there's no effort, what that means is somebody has put a whole lot of effort in the background that you don't see. So, you know, the challenges, most people don't see the challenges that we go through on a day-to-day basis. One of the early challenges that we had as a company was defining how we were going to deliver our product. Mm-hmm. Originally back, you got to remember, we started in the mid-90s, like 95, 96. We didn't go live with our product until 1998, but originally we were going to design a product where back then you would install the software on your local computer, and you heard me talking about these modems that we would dial up to. So back then you would do all the work on your computer, you would finish it, and then you would upload it to the corporate office. You know, so we had like 20, 30 properties for McKibben Brothers, who I was working for at the time. So we'd get our work in and we'd try to upload it. 30 hotels needed to get all their information into the corporate office by 8 o'clock in the morning. So we were all competing to get that connection over the phone line up there. So we're sitting there, we're working on our new software. And you know, I was working out of Holiday Inn Warner Robins. And running M3. I wasn't an employee of M3 yet, but I was working out of the hotel. And so I called up to the person that was developing the software. His name was Alan Duarte. And he was building this software, this big monolithic thing that with mainframes and stuff. And I said, Alan, there's this new connection, new thing coming out called the internet. Back then, we didn't even know what the internet was. I said, is there a way that people can log on via the internet from wherever they are and access our software? He went back and talked to John McKibben. John was like, that's what we got to do. So they'd been working for like a year and a half on the pathway they were going. They threw all that out. Defining moment. We recognized we were going down the wrong pathway. Redesigned the program to work on the internet. Presents a whole new set of challenges. We had to then convince people that the internet wasn't just a passing fad. You know, my kids nowadays, you know, you pick up your phone, you get on your computer, you just go on the internet. But back then, nobody knew, you know, what the internet was, how it worked, if it would be around for a long time. So once we got past that, then another defining moment was all these different hoteliers. They're very, you know, they want all their information. They want to own that information. So I had to convince all these CFOs, all these owners, that I was going to have their data. It wasn't going to be within their four walls. It was going to be within my four walls. And so getting them to understand that and to have the trust in myself to maintain that, that was another defining challenge. Once we got past that, it set the pathway to where we are today. And it's been a long, hard road. But those are some of the most defining moments I can think of, is making that switch from going to, you know, an on-premise software to something that was in the cloud. We were in the cloud in 1998. Once we got past that, you know, I had to explain to them, you know, back then we called it application service provider, and then it became software as a service, and eventually it now is called cloud computing. All the same thing. We were the first pioneer in that industry in the hospitality sector. So, you know, defining moments, once we got past that, it went quite well for us.
Wow. And that's something to definitely think about too, when you go from dial-up mode, and I remember that as well. So I am in that 30 plus club. So I understand the dial-up mode and then making that transition. And it was such a foreign language, you know. No one really knew what email was and what that meant to have data in, as we call it now, the cloud. So being something, you know, it sounds like you were on the brink of a lot of new technology, and how fun that has been, I'm sure, to see it move from internet to cloud. And now we have all this information within our phones, and we're, you know, building the tech stack here at M3 to integrate with other partners as well.
Yep. I mean, we're constantly evolving and improving the product, and that's one of the other cool things. It's a defining moments. We have a defining moment all the time because we introduce new product. Customers come to us. They want to know, you know, I'm having an issue with this. Do you think you can develop that? And we'll take a look at it and we'll go, yeah, you know. And, you know, our job is to make life easier for hoteliers. If we're doing our job correctly, we create defining moments for our customers as well. And that's to improve their life and their ability to perform their job.
Great. Do you have a few moments where one really brought you more pride than the other when you think about your time at M3?
Yeah, I mean, some of the things I'm proud of here at M3, yeah, I'm most proud of the people and the culture we've created here. You know, John's always come to me, says, Alan, he says, you always seem to hire, you know, the best people. And, you know, that's key to the company. I just, I like to have conversations with people, go from a gut feel. But I think as a company, M3 has been very fortunate to have just a wealth of talent here, and that we've been able to develop that talent. And with that talent, we've created a culture that's made them want to stay. We have a board back over in HR, and it lists all the people's anniversary and how long they've been here and things like that. And it's, you know, you'll see people have been here 15 years, 20 years, you know, 10 years, 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you necessarily see that. So I'm very proud that, you know, we've got a company where people want to stay here. You know, obviously we're doing something that's making them want to continue to work for us and stay here. Another catchphrase I have is, we don't hire people here for a job, we hire them for a career. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at people, we're looking for people that want to, you know, plant themselves and help develop themselves as well as the company here. So, and that tenured people that we have, that tells me, hey, we've done that. And I'm very proud of that, that it's not one of those companies that people just, you know, it's the job they've got until they find the next good one. This is the job I want people to have for the rest of their career.
Absolutely. And I know one thing that I've heard and you've expressed to me as well that you do take pride in is our beautiful building. And for any of our listeners who have not been to this building, it's absolutely stunning. You know, that was one of the things that caught my eye when I was coming to interview as well. And so tell me a little bit about, where did you have your hand in the construction of this building and some of the design?
Sure. I mean, you asked me earlier, you know, what are one of the milestones, you know, and this moving into this building here in Lawrenceville is one of the major milestones of the company. We started off literally in the garage of John McKibben's father's. Just a very, very small space. And we grew into, you know, the upstairs. You know, I remember that was a defining moment when we got out of the garage and went upstairs. And then once we got into that building, we moved into a bank building. We were like three or four floors all spread out. But we got to a point where we needed to move into a new building. And John had this idea of an open concept. He says, Alan, this is my idea. He goes, you pretty much got carte blanche, you know, don't go spend, you know, $50 million, but, you know, go design this building to where it's people can shoulder surf each other. They can find each other easier. When we were on, you know, four different floors, it was so hard to develop a culture. So we designed this building. It took us about 9 months to gut it out, come up with a color scheme, layout, design, that would allow people to be in the open concept, but still feel like they were within their own space. I think we've done that. I hired an architectural firm. I gave them my ideas, John's ideas, and then we were able to execute. And, you know, sales loves it too, because they know if they can get a customer into this building, as you were talking, and they get to see it, they're like, hey, you know, this is a real company, because we're an internet company. As right. we said, we're cloud right. computing. So people have a hard time envisioning, you know, what is M3? When they come to this building, they get to see who we are. They get to yes. see the people, they get to see the environment, and they get to see this just really nice place to come work at, and the atmosphere and the environment that we have.
Absolutely. And that's what sets us apart as well from our customer service. When you're calling here, you're actually talking to a live human, you know, in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. And so we really pride ourselves on having that interaction. And I know that's something that I'd love to take pride in from us as well.
On the support staff, it's kind of interesting that you brought that up. Mm-hmm. I had a potential customer one time. He says, you know, let's talk about your support staff. I said, what's your question? And he says, you know, how do you benchmark your support team as far as, you know, do you have X number of calls they have to complete or not? And I was like, you know, I've never really thought about that, because no, I don't do a benchmark. My benchmark is our customer satisfaction score. So if I have a high customer satisfaction score, then I know my support team is doing what I told them to do. And that's when a customer calls you, you own that problem. If you can resolve it in 15 minutes, that's great. But if it takes you 3 hours, you're going to spend 3 hours on the phone with that person, because when they reach out to you, they've obviously tried to fix it themselves and they can't, so they've called you for help. You're going to be empathetic to them, and you're going to resolve their problem, and you're going to own it until you get to the resolution.
Absolutely, which goes back to kind of the original vision, was to making sure that customers come first. So we just heard about some things that you're really proud of at your time here at M3. What I'm curious about is going into a little bit more about how has M3 really affected the community surrounding our building. I know we started in Gainesville, but now we're here in Lawrenceville. We've jumped ship a little bit, but tell us about the impact here in the Atlanta metro area.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it kind of perpetuates the do the right thing. We've always been strong in volunteering, whether it was volunteering to help each other, but especially out in the community. Mm-hmm. We've had things where we go out and we take our employees to the local animal shelter, and we walk the dogs, we help feed them, we, you know, in the animals, and, you know, get them outside of those pens and until they can be adopted. We've done to gone to Gwinnett City Parks and been part of cleanup crews. We've gone out to Eagle Ranch, which is up in Hall County, and we plant flowers around the grounds and help maintain them. We participate in Thumbs Up, which mm-hmm. is where we give families that have a family member that has cancer, and we take them to a retreat for the weekend, and we call it giving them a vacation from cancer. So there's just a ton of different things we do around the community so that, you know, we're just not here consuming the resources of the community. We're actually contributing to them and trying to make it a better place for everybody, not just M3, but for all of those that are out there as well. So I love that we do that. It's a spirit and part of the culture of the company. Mm-hmm. And we even have a wall. It's called the Giving Wall, and it lists all the different organizations that we contribute to and that we try to help in the general area.
Right, because we are proud members of being in Gwinnett County. And I think what you had told me earlier in the week was that we are one of the biggest businesses within Gwinnett.
We are. When we first came here and we were looking at this building, we only had like 110, 120 people. I remember the Chamber of Commerce coming out, you know, and they do the ribbon cutting and stuff like that, you know, and they appreciate new businesses coming in. And they said, so what is your vision for M3? And I said, well, you know, you see how big the building is. We only have 120 employees. The building was built out for about 330 employees. And I said, we plan on growing within the next 3 to 4 years to 300 employees. And they were like, wow, I mean, that's really rapid growth. And I said, well, I mean, that's just, you know, the next 3 to 4 or 5 years, we will continue to grow. We're a growth company. I've never had a month in the history of the company that didn't outperform the previous month. And, you know, that's a tribute to both the sales and the support teams. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, with that comes a responsibility. And you've got to take that responsibility and you know, help others and help your community and just it helps you to be a respected partner in the community. And that's really part of the culture that I like to perpetuate here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Not just being here as a business, but being actually a part of the community itself.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful here. Now, in these 25 years, Alan, tell me how you feel like you've grown professionally and personally.
Okay. Wow, 25 years growing professionally. You know, you mature. You know, I started this M3, I'm the only leader the company's ever had. So I started at the very beginning. I was young in my career. I had been 10 years in the hotel business. And in the hotel, I was the GM of the hotels. So, I was the manager and the leader there. And so it kind of, you know, you think, oh, you know, I can do anything. And you learn pretty quick. You know, there's always going to be challenges. There's always things that you've got to learn and adjust to. So, you know, in the beginning, you know, problems would come up and you get all hot and heated and stuff like that. You know, you learn as you mature and as you grow, you know, don't worry about the small things and you take care of the big things. The smaller things will take care of themselves. So professionally, you know, deal with the issues. Never belittle anybody. I've learned that, you know, in front of others. You know, if you've got an issue with somebody, go talk to pull them off to the side, say, hey, you know, I know you did this. I probably would have done it this way. And when you're younger, you know, you're like, oh, you know, you don't do that. You don't do this. And, you know, that doesn't work for you and it doesn't work for them. So I've kind of learned, you know, that, you know, some people call it, you know, the sandwich approach, you know, start off by saying something good, kind of get to what the problem is and finish off saying, hey, I know you can do it. You know, you've always done well, you know, so that type of mentality and attitude towards people. But, you know, learn to be kind, you know, mm-hmm. be kind to your employees, be kind to everybody. And, you know, and be truthful and honest. And then you don't have to remember if you told a lie, what the lie was. And so you don't have to figure out how to repeat it. Just tell the truth. And it's easy to remember the truth.
Yeah.
You know, so those are some of the things I've learned as a leader, you know, just, you know, even, calm, straightforward.
Great. That's good advice. So Alan, let's talk about the future. This new merger with Blackstone is a huge milestone for M3. How are you feeling right now?
You know, you can't help but be proud, you know, and at the same time, humble. You know, a company like Blackstone came knocking at the door of my company, our company. And, you know, Blackstone doesn't go after just anybody. You know, they go after, historically, companies are doing well. So they thought enough to come ask us. I remember the first communication we had with them, we had a company that is in their portfolio called G6, and we were trying to get their hotels under our system. And a gentleman by the name of Ramsey sent John a note and said, hey, I just want to know if I can come sit in on y'all's conversation, y'all's sales pitch with G6. And John forwarded me that note, and I said, hey, John, I think they might be interested in investing with us. And he's like, nah, they're not, Blackstone's not interested in us. I said, they don't just show up out of the blue. And sure enough, they came here, and, Ramsey made a pitch to me. He said, hey, we might be interested in investing. And we were like, no, first of all, there's a little, bit of self, doubt that, why would Blackstone be interested in us? But then you think about the company, and, we are doing well. And so when they did complete the purchase, I've got to admit, it was a bit emotional, but I was very, very proud. I even, I emailed, texted my brothers and sisters. I have five sisters and two younger brothers. I said, hey, you might see a press release that says, our company was bought by Blackstone, in the Wall Street Journal or in Bloomberg or something like that. I knew they probably didn't read that, but it was just my way of kind of bragging to them. So I was a little prideful there. And like I said, very humble. It's just very cool that a company like Blackstone bought us, and they, the things they bring to us is just a wealth of resources. They help their portfolios. We got bought out by their growth division, and their growth division, they don't run companies. They just they help them to grow faster and stronger. And so that's what Blackstone brings to us. They bring to us like 50 data scientists, all these purchasing managers, all these revenue research managers, strategists, and things like that. And so we're just, we're jumping on, we're along for the ride. We're going to show them how we do things the M3 way. And then they get to tell us how they do things that make companies even more successful than we've been. So I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. I'm sure a range of emotions, exciting and very proud, but I love that you focused on humble and knowing that it was so many people that have helped with this journey to get where we are today. So I absolutely love that.
Yeah. I mean, it's taken a team effort for us to become a company that Blackstone would be interested in. There's no one person. I'd say that during our orientation classes, it takes an entire team here at M3 to make it successful.
Absolutely. What are your hopes for the culture within 5 years, 10 years, and what do you want that will always remain the same?
That's a really good question. So I said earlier, we're maturing as a company, but we don't want to mature out of our culture. We want to continue with the same culture that we have. And as we grow bigger, you can never forget where you came from. So we need to constantly remind ourselves, where we start off. We start off in that garage of John McKibben's father. You got to keep that and stay humble. So the culture, I want us to always be humble, not be arrogant. Grow the company. My expectation is that, we continue to grow with the Blackstone investment. We're super focused on growth now, but we're also focused on the employee. Because without the employees, it is who you are, and continuing to do the right thing. So I hope we perpetuate that and we continue to instill it in all of our new people that we hire. If we do any mergers and acquisitions, we get those people, we bring them into our culture, and we take, if they've got something good, then we can inherit that and bring it in as well. But to me, it's very important that we maintain that do the right thing attitude. And that's what I would like to make sure the company follows.
Absolutely. Grow with integrity.
Correct. I love that.
Yeah. So with that being said, I think a lot of our listeners are kind of curious as this new chapter of M3 begins. We're wrapping up our 25th year here at M3. It's been a really fun year. We've had a lot of celebrations, a lot of recognitions. We've looked at different anniversaries within the pieces of technology that we provide to our customers. And so as you're kind of starting to put M3 in the mirror a little bit and, with this recent merger, what are plans for Allen next?
What are the plans for Allen? Another good question. You're full of them. So I've been here for 25 years, been the only leader M3 has had in the history of those 25 years. So, you know, eventually, you know, Julie, who is our chief human resource officer, is always talking about succession planning and things like that. So, yeah, we start working on succession planning, you know, and, you know, what's left for me is to make sure that there's a good leadership team here when the day comes up. You know, at some point in time, you know, I'll probably retire, but, you know, I want to make sure that the culture is always successful here and maintains. And then, you know, obviously I've got time I want to spend with my wife. You know, all my kids are grown, so they're out. So now it's time to spend with my wife, start spending time with my grandchildren, traveling, enjoying life. You know, it's, I've always been work focused. People ask me, they say, you know, what are your hobbies? You know, my hobby is M3. I mean, that's literally been, you know, my singular focus for the last 25 years.
Right.
You know, obviously, you know, being with the company has allowed me to spend time with my family, you know, go to their ball games, their soccer games, you know, band and stuff like that. But it'll be hard when the time comes to disengage. I don't think if I'll ever be able to disengage. But, you know, that I guess that's the challenge, being able to learn to relax.
Well, you bleed blue and green. You know, M3 is within your blood, and, you know, and it's very... It's apparent the passion you've put into this place, and especially by the amount of people who join and stay on. And, you know, and I agree with you. You walk down these halls and you see our big anniversary wall. One of the things that sticks out is just how many people, the tenure of people. And so, you know, I hope that you take that with pride as well, that you've created a place where people want to be and want to stay, and not just from a job, but to an actual career.
Thank you. I kind of hope that it becomes part of my legacy with the people that continue on forward with M3.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time away from a very busy CEO day and sitting down with me and our listeners and just talking about your journey, because what a journey it has been in 25 years, and it'll continue growing within these next few years of just big changes. But I'm so glad that you're a part of that, and we really appreciate you sitting down and taking the time with us, Alan.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You've done a really great job, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I do appreciate
it. Thanks, Alan.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for joining us today on M3 Minutes Podcast. I'm Veronica Berman, your hostess, and today we sat down with Alan Reed, CEO of M3. If you liked that episode, make sure to click that subscribe link for more content.
This recording is copyrighted by M3 LLC. Any use or redistribution without M3's express consent is strictly prohibited.